A good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is Halloween, and we are fired up to be with you from 2 to 6:30 today. Thank you for making the show part of your afternoon. We are coming to you live from our homes today. Kudos and shout out to our boss, who was kind enough to let us work from home so we could take our kids trick-or-treating as soon as we are off the air today, which I'm excited about. Daniel, how are you?
Very well, my friend. We have, speaking of Halloween, the school does a really cool thing where my kids go, where you drop them off, and then basically, I'm not sure what they do for 20 minutes, but and parents aren't really sure what to do for 20 minutes either, but you find something, and then they come right back, and they do this big Halloween parade where all it really is doing is the whole school is outside and they they all walk in their costumes and you get your pictures and they walk as a class and they pose and then like the teachers do a relay race in their costumes and stuff. It's really fun, really cool activity. So I've already done that today. We've already had like a little appetizer of a Halloween situation. So we're going good.
That's a wacky bit. I kind of like that though.
Yeah, it's neat.
We're making memories. Yeah, today I picked my kids up from school. They get out around noon generally. And so I went and picked them up, and they were stunned that I was the one that showed up
to pick them up.
So then I took them over to Glory Days. We got a shark attack. They were really happy about that. Mm-hmm. I was told it was the best day ever, that I'm the best dad ever. I mean,
amazing.
This is that kind of day, man.
Amazing. And all you had to do was get them, what's it called, a shark attack?
Shark attack.
Yeah, good.
Now, you won't be surprised, as the father of a couple of boys, to know it was not my boy that said those things. It was my girl that said those very nice things.
Oh, well, I get one. It's so we vacillate. We've within 15 minutes, I've been both best and worst, which
That'll
is amazing. The fluctuation, the wide variance between best dad ever means like I grant the thing, and then worst dad ever, of course, is no, you can't eat said thing after you brush your teeth or something like that. I'm a tyrant. We know that.
Yeah, if you let them do everything they want to do, you are the best.
Best dad, right?
Pretty clearly. So that's all you got to do if you want to be the best. Hopefully you guys are excited, though, and ready to get out of work or head home if you're already out of the office, listening from home, whether you're passing out the candy or you're taking the kids trick-or-treating. Halloween is one that I do enjoy. It was at its peak probably around the college years, but it's still a lot of fun. It's one of the holidays, and many of them are this way, for me, where you get to vicariously live through your kids again and remember your youth. There's a nostalgia to it when you were putting on a costume and running around, but seeing their excitement and their enthusiasm is really, really good. The rankings for me are still Thanksgiving 1, Christmas 2. Halloween then is in the running for the bronze medal. Probably I'd have to give it some thought, but top of my head, it's fall. The weather's nice. There's candy involved. I think Halloween would probably be 3 for me, but it's hard to screw it up, man. Weather's very nice today. It's not going to be rainy like it was the last couple of years. So this is the good stuff.
Yeah, it's basically among those three, which all take place, by the way, after the beginning of fall. Everyone recognize, please. You're basically talking Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. Shuffle them up. Wherever you're in, whoever's got the best recruiting class that year, if the candy's the best, this is Ohio State's year. That could be Halloween. If Alabama's, under Nick Saban and they got a good enough quarterback, give them Thanksgiving. And, Georgia coming up the rear with Christmas. It's all perfect. Shuffle them up. It's so good.
Ooh.
That's all it is. You know what I mean?
I think that's a take.
What's that?
I think that's warm.
What's
that? You're telling me that Halloween and Christmas or Thanksgiving, like you don't care how you would rank. You don't have Thanksgiving decidedly better than Halloween?
No, I definitely do. I must have misspoken. So my one seed's Thanksgiving. My two seed is Christmas. My three seed's Halloween. It's like yours. But there have been good and bad iterations of it. So, like, in other words, they're all so good. They're all so much better than every other dumb day that we have and celebrate, where any one of them in a given year could win the Natty. But, like, my favorite every year, to me, Thanksgiving is the perfect day for human beings. Like that we've peaked. That is the pinnacle of what you can do. Everyone else around the globe has holidays. They've got all sorts of observances, and bless them. Thank you. We appreciate it. I love everyone. That Thanksgiving, your job is to sit on thine own tuchus and eat as much as you possibly can. Sorry. Take your other holidays and walk on down the line.
And I'm sure there are grown-ups listening by either you know, people who are directly responsible for cooking the meal for their family.
Mm-hmm.
There are grown-ups listening who maybe your only job is at some point you've got to carve the turkey. There's someone listening. You know, you have some obligation every year where you're providing something for the feast. You're doing something to make the day work on Thanksgiving. I have my entire life. I am still undefeated at this. I have never had a job on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, nobody wants me to have a job.
Is.
Everyone, well, with all due respect, our families have found us out. They know that we're not capable people.
Correct.
Like, Danny, you got a job. Make the potatoes in a different consistency. Wrong. I'll screw that up. You know, get the butter out of the fridge. I put it in the oven. Like, nothing. Just keep me away. I mean, I am more of a hindrance than I am an assister.
Yeah, growing up, just watched football.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time, and would go take food off the table, you know, snack on whatever we had throughout the day, and then I would eat a giant meal for Thanksgiving. And you think at some point, like, oh, well, I'll be a grown-up, and I'll be a dad, and I'll have kids, and I'll have a family, and we'll be the ones having people over. And those things have all happened. And I am still doing the exact same thing now at 35, 36, as I was 25 years ago. And I've never been asked to do anything. And
That's right. It's
almost like, if you are known to be incompetent, then no one's going to bother you, so just be incompetent. It's like one of those things.
Self-fulfilling, yeah. Like, if you show too much – I learned this years ago at my government contracting job. If you show that you can do it, it's your job. Like, it happens very quickly, right? Where the one time I was the youngest person in the office, so it's funny to think of this way. But everyone – there was some sort of, like, tech question, because none of these people – like, me, I was the person that they went to as like a young person, the way we'd go to Ryan or Darius or somebody even younger. And I solved it. I answered it. I was like, no, you just close this window. I don't remember what the hell it was. I then became the person that they asked every time. Like, anytime anything happened that had to do with, like, technical things, is what I almost became, like, this
By
senior
the way,
tech advisor, which is the most outrageous thing in human history, because I'm terrible at it.
People have no idea.
But they have no idea.
This is like me saying I was the cardio guy. Like,
right.
You, as the tech answerer...
Isn't that funny?
...is one of the most outrageous things I've ever heard.
Yeah, because it was one time I was able to go, I don't remember what it was. It was something as simple as, no, just close the window and try to open it again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but at that level, this was like your grandparents. Like, I just got a phone, and they're like smacking it with their pointer finger, not really sure what they're supposed to do. You know, one step above in Zoolander when Derek Zoolander and Hansel are smacking the computer trying to get the files out of it. Like, it's one step above that. And so I was able to answer a question, and then I became the person they asked every time. And I learned my lesson. Do not speak up. Go to work. Smile at people. Say hello. Be very pleasant. But never volunteer that you could do something. Otherwise, that's your job.
It looks like you're wearing a very thick wristband. Are you?
No, it's a wrist brace that I'm doing. I'm doing getting some push-ups in during the commercial break. It's a little risk card because I get the carpal tunnels from typing and from gaming. So a little wrist weakness there. So when you push on my
palm. So do
you
wear that all the time or just when you're doing push-ups?
No, just when I'm doing any exercises that's a push exercise. I mean, you know this. You gave me the chest blaster program. Anything I'm doing where I've got to push or support my body weight or kind of, you know, use your flat palm, if I don't have the wrist brace on, it I just can't do it.
It's like the thickest armband I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's like a wrap. You want me to take it off and show you?
No, it's fine. Okay. Nobody listening can tell what
Ones
it is.
Ones of people on the YouTube page could see.
That's true. The 106.7 The Fan YouTube page is where you can stream us on video and watch Danny do whatever it is that he's doing with his wristbands on today from his home. I did put together a list, though, if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
Just top of my head today. Going through some of the candies that I have seen either that we're passing out or that other people have been talking about passing out, I put together my list of best candies to give out today and worst candies.
Okay.
I want to see what you think of my inaugural list here.
Okay.
All right. Best candies to get on Halloween. Add what you need to. Tell me if you would take anything off this list.
Okay.
I've got, and you're going to hear the word sleeve. I need to be very, very careful about this. When I say sleeve, I'm talking about full-size, king-size, multiple of something. Like, this is not one of, this is many of, right?
Okay.
So let's just qualify that. Sleeve of Reese's Cups.
Mm-hmm.
I think if someone's passing out full or king-size sleeve of Reese's Cups, that's a gigantic win.
Yes.
Now, the mistake you're going to make, children, is you're going to get home and pour that out on the floor like I used to do, where you check out your big pile of loot. You need to throw those Reese's cups immediately in the freezer and freeze them. You need them to be as cold and as hard as possible when you eat them. That is the only way you eat that Reese's cup. I do love the Reese's cup that is wrapped in the foil that you peel off. But what I'm talking about is the thinner, bigger Reese's cup sleeve, Danny. Yeah. I think that's an elite Halloween candy.
Orange, and I think the king size either has three or four in one of the containers. You don't have to go through the foil process with each one. They're individually wrapped just on the bottom, and you go to town. The freezer thing is great. I'm not anti that. I think you could just go as soon as possible, too, because it's so perfect.
I think if you pop them in at room temperature, you eat fewer of them. My experience is, I don't know where you're at on this, my experience is you get tired of them faster at room temperature.
So I will subscribe to that. I counter that by mixing in other things to cleanse that palate. Then I go right back to the Reese's. Like, that's your main candy dish, so to speak.
Okay, I can allow for that.
Yep.
Number two on my list of things that if you're giving this out, you are crushing Halloween. I'm looking for the giant Kit Kat bar. This is not one of those tiny little Kit Kat bars where you got to, you know, put your fingers together to tear it just so because it's a little bowl with 800 of these. No. This is a big Kit Kat bar with the big bars that you break off. I'm going to say it's wider than a dollar bill. It's about that length-ish. But if you're giving out the full or the king size Kit Kat bar, I think you're crushing it. Now, I would advocate that you eat these cold as well. I think that's the best consumption experience. But I am more willing to allow for room temperature eating of a Kit Kat bar.
Yeah, again, if you have the discipline for cold, do it. If you don't, again, I think you're fine. It's chocolate-covered wafers. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, hard to go wrong there.
So far we're 2 for 2. You feel good about this?
I like that, yeah. So I just want to note, going forward, I already know this about you because I know my co-host, you're going to have a huge, enormous, greatest offensive line ever opening up a whole gap without any caramel-related things in your candy bars and desserts. And I want everyone to know, listening, that I'm aware of it, and we'll get to it at the end. So, like, you're going to be like, how could you not include? I know it. You know it. Grant's going to continue, but know that I'm aware of the ones that he hasn't mentioned yet. So go ahead, please.
So I appreciate that. This is the definitive list, though. This is opinion. This
Your
is the definitive list of what is good and bad to pass out on Halloween, just to make sure you're doing it right. If you don't have one of the candies that I am putting on this definitive list, you need to leave the office early. You need to stop what you're doing. Now, listen to the show on the Odyssey app on your way to the store.
Of course,
you need to go get one of these things. Next on the list, I am navigating away from the chocolate and peanut butter category. I am navigating away.
Okay.
Starburst. Starburst are great.
Starburst.
I will accept the little mini pack of two. They come two side by side. That's fine when you get those on Halloween. If you can have a couple of those, especially if I dig in, hey, grab two from the bowl. Now I've got four. That's reasonable. Not ideal, but reasonable. Mm-hmm. What I want is a sleeve of Starburst. Again, full size, king size. That's what you should be thinking. Especially, you should have two piles, frankly. You should have the candy that you're passing out to all the neighbor kids that you know. Little Frankie, little Johnny, little Timmy, little Jesse, little Susie, right? The ones that are in your yard and you're, you know, walking their dog past your house all the time. They get the king or the full size. If it's just some little rugrat you don't know who's in a costume and you can't recognize and you want to do the bowl for them, acceptable. Not what I would do, but acceptable. Okay. But you need to have king and full for the kids that represent the neighborhood well or are growing up and making you proud. But the sleeve of Starburst, Danny, I think Starburst this time of year gets slept on a little bit. It's okay to have fruity snacks.
Yeah, they get underrated. So the way I would categorize it is take one bowl that's not chocolate. Okay, because there's a weird epidemic going on in our society, if I may, where kids don't like chocolate. I don't know what happened, how it happened, where it happened, or who's responsible. I'd like them held to account, by the way. But I would then go, not to jump ahead and take anything off your list, I'll keep my Starburst in there. I'll put my Twizzlers in there. Anything else that fits that description. Nerds, Spree, any of those non-chocolate candies are going in there. Then I've got, like, my chocolate subsection. Then I might even have a third section with, again, like anything that features caramel, chocolate and caramel in there. But I'm with you. The fruity candy gets slept on.
I like the organization. I think that's important. I will mention two more in this category. Mm-hmm. I'll mention them together because I think you kind of brushed past or touched on these. Skittles and Twizzlers are both in this category for me. Now, I kind of think you hate Twizzlers incorrectly.
Wrong.
And if that's true, that's a problem. Do you?
Where would you get?
I thought you said it's like plasticky. A lot of people, you know, Twizzlers are not a popular candy. They're not.
First of all, that's jarring to find that out, that they're not popular.
Every time I mention Twizzlers, like on Twitter or something, at the movie theater,
somebody
or I mention on air, somebody tells me like, oh, you like red plastic? Twizzlers are great.
Yeah, so I want you to remember that feeling of being 10 years old at the pool. You've got, now for me, it was a dollar. For you, it's probably like $7 with inflation. But when I was at, like that $1, I could get a pack of Twizzlers and a soda. And I'm taking that Twizzler. I bite off the top, I bite off the bottom, and that's my straw for the soda. It don't get better than that.
I'll never do a Twizzler straw. I've seen people do a Twizzler straw.
Oh, idiot. Mm.
You know that's my Twizzler living. Move. Tell people my Twizzler move.
What's your Twizzler move? I've seen it, of course.
Oh, we've talked about it so many times.
Yeah.
At the movie theater,
mm-hmm.
I bite off a piece of Twizzler, I wrap it around a piece of buttery popcorn. And then I eat the Twizzler and the popcorn at the same time.
Yeah, your Twizzler corn move. That's right. I forgot. I couldn't remember which one is the one, like you split a combo. Like there's one, that's not combos you split. You split like a
goldfish.
Chip. Yeah, goldfish. There you go. You bite off the tail like some sort of wild orca and then split the thing in half, very dainty like a squirrel.
One more chocolate candy that I do have on my list of things that you should be giving out today is M&M's. If it's a full bag, now the smaller little pouch, you could do that or Skittles. If you do both a pouch of Skittle and M&M's small, that's fine. But I think a big bag of M&M's, the traditional, though, I want the brown bag. Yellow peanut M&M's are not really for me. I'm not as interested in those. You can save those. Miss me with that. But the brown bag, the old school, the way Dad did it, just traditional, iconic M&M's, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
What better night to get a bag of M&M's than tonight?
Yeah, that's perfect. And so if you do the little small ones, you can do like, hey, take one of these and then one of something else, or you could do a double. You can take two bags. It all depends on the time of night. You want to make sure it all lasts. But, yeah, the small bags of M&M's are fine if you give them something else. If that's all you're giving, that's a little stingy.
All right, so those are all the best candies to give out. I want to bounce my worst candies to give out off you next, and we can actually take some calls on this if you guys want to get Halloween started on Grant and Danny. The phones are open at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. So, Danny, tee up your best candy to get tonight and worst candy to get if you're trick-or-treating, and we'll take calls on that at 800-636-1067, best and worst. I've got four candies that if you're giving them out tonight, I'm not going to advocate that anybody eggs your house. I think that's the wrong thing to do.
But if it were to happen, be real
shame. If it happens, you'll know why. It's because you gave one of these four things out. And if you are planning on giving any of these four things out, and then your house gets egged, I don't think you can be upset about it. I think you've just got to take it as a learning lesson, apologize to whoever's involved, and try to do better next year. You're listening to Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's Halloween. Thank you for listening to the program. How about the Wiz? Two straight wins over the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know what that says about Atlanta. As the Wizards,
it's not a great compliment there. Yeah,
are expected to pick number one. They're now 2-2 on the young season. I'm not worried about them winning. I know a lot of people say, oh, don't win. Well, first of all, I think it's going to be okay. They're going to lose a lot more than they win. So just settle in, number one. Number two, when their young guys play really well, which was the case last night with Bilal Coulibaly, 27 points, 9 rebounds. Keshawn George, 11 points. Alex Saar had double-digit points with 5 boards. Bub Carrington had 16 points. And when their veterans that are trade chips, like Jordan Poole, 24 points, 9 assists, plays at a high level, it's all good. I mean, if Jonas Valanciunas is going to go out and go 22-8-6 in 25 minutes of action, that's eventually going to get you something back.
Indeed.
So I'm not upset about that.
Yeah, it's a listen, I honestly rather they be 0-4 and have some of those same stats and things happen. But to your point, this is a process thing. If your kids, as they're learning and growing, and Bilal Coulibaly played his best offensive game last night, combined with his best defensive game I've ever seen him play the night before, or I guess it was two nights ago, whenever the math was, where he shut down Trae Young, sorry, sometimes your young kids play well and you win a game or two. Maybe you mess up the program, and that's part of it. That's part and parcel. So, you know, there'll be plenty of nights, I think, where they come in second, to your point. And, yeah, I mean, I look at it every time Jordan Poole plays a really solid game or gets white hot from the outside, or Kyle Kuzma is able to create not only in transition but in the half court, that's something more they'll probably get back in terms of a future asset to build this thing.
Koulibaly is fantastic, by the way. He is trending toward stud status. I don't think he'll ever be a superstar. I don't know what the offensive upside is, but 19 points to go with 6 rebounds and 3 assists with a steal and a half per game right now, and he is still so young.
He's better than I thought he would be years from now on offense. I didn't really see it offensively. I go, okay, he'll be a problem, you know, guarding 3 or 4 different positions, the length, the athleticism, the want to. I wasn't sure what he'd be offensively. He's already light years ahead of where I thought he would be. So I'm with you on not a superstar. There's only a handful of those guys. They don't make many of them. But a really, really nice piece to have on a good team, I think they got that.
Yeah, he's 20 years old, by the way. And it feels like he's trending toward core member, mm-hmm. core stud player on a, yep. you know, first division championship type team. I thought he acquitted himself really well at the Olympics this summer. It was cool to Agreed. Watch him taking on America and some of the other teams with stars that he was getting to play against. I think that experience for him was probably invaluable. But that was good to see. By the way, their roommates at Capital One Arena, the Caps, play tonight a Halloween matchup with Montreal. Nice opportunity for them, unless they let down a bit against a opponent that sees the skill drop off from where they've been playing the last few games. They could be 7-2 in their first 9 games with 14 points here out of a possible 18, which would be a big, big deal for them.
A couple of Washington teams going for some 7-2 records this week.
Yeah, be nice for sure.
Always
All right, let's finish off what we were talking about. I know a couple of people are waiting, want to hop in. We're getting a lot of tweets as well at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. So these were the candies that I said, if you're giving these out, you're doing a good job. Sleeve of Reese's Cups, giant Kit Kat, give me the sleeve of Starburst, Skittles, Twizzlers, M&Ms. I think that's my 6 that I'm going to put as elite over everything else. If you were going to add something to that category, what would it be?
This is in the elite category. So, of course, you ignored all things caramel incorrectly. That's just cooked sugar. We should always remember what that is. Honorable mention to Reese's Take 5, which you sleep on. That is a pretzel, peanut butter, caramel inside of chocolate. It's phenomenal. With all due respect to Snickers, the Three Musketeers bar, the answer is Twix. The answer is Twix. It's a cookie. It's caramel, and it's also chocolate. You get not the little one, not the fun size, nothing fun about less. The great, big, bad, you-know-whos. Left Twix, right Twix, insert, and have a grand old time. The thing that should be punted. No. I don't even want to bother Tress Way with this. Get Elon Musk on it. Or somebody else that has a space company. Load these up and shoot them directly into the center of the sun. They're a tandem. Mounds and Almond Joy. Mounds and Almond Joy. It's weird that anybody would go, I want these weird texture pieces of paper, a.k.a. coconut, I'm using that in quotation marks, that's a sarcastic coconut inside of anything that has to do with candy.
I hate the taste of coconut.
Of course you do. Now, coconut water, fine. Coconut is an accent. Coconut is part of an ensemble. Okay, we can have a conversation here, all right? But what coconut actually is, it's like pencil shavings in terms of texture. That type sensation when you're biting it, wrong. No one should ever do that on purpose. The best thing that should happen is you're not paying attention. You're mid-conversation. You take a bite of it, you go, oh, my God, and you get rid of it. And you never, never eat it again. You always remember, hey, I need to look before I leap. Make sure that that never touches these lips again with my sophisticated palate. With all due respect, these are wonderful companies. They're doing an awful lot. I want whoever's in charge of this thing to go, you know what, for the good of humanity, we're just going to stop making them. Let no one be tempted by Mounds and Almond Joy.
I'm pretty sure my dad loved Almond Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say I'm pretty sure because it became like the candy that when we saw it, we'd go, oh, I'll get some of those for dad.
Grab one
but
for
I
dad.
I never actually saw him eat them. It's the same as like at Christmas time. every year you got to get your dad, you know, present. You're looking for something that, you know, would make him happy. You're a kid. He's a grown-up. You don't really know what he wants. I know he likes the Beatles. So the joke was always we'd find a Beatles magazine. And all me, my two brothers, my sister, he would just get the same Beatles magazine from like three of the four of us every year that we saw at the mall. And we just give him a Beatles magazine.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, that'll make dad smile.
Magazine about the Beatles and Almond Joy. Perfect. I mean,
that's DP.
I never saw
him open the magazine and read it, and I never saw him eat the Almond Joy. So for all I know, he didn't actually enjoy either of those two things.
Next time you go home, he'll be in the recliner with like a bowl of Almond Joys reading the Beatles magazine. just doing a bit.
Here were the candies, I think, if you're giving them out, all bets are off in terms of how you're going to be treated by the neighborhood kids.
Uh-huh.
Now and laters. I hate now and laters.
How about never and no's?
Now and laters stick to your teeth in a way that is not rewarding at any point. Like, that happens with dots. If you're familiar with, like, that little box of dots.
Mm-hmm.
I like dots. They stick to your teeth, and they're a pain in the butt to eat, but there is some, you know, reward at the end of the experience. You don't get that with now and laters. Smarties. I'm not seven anymore. And even if you are seven, you realize that you shouldn't be eating that. It's powder. It's gross. You're familiar with Smarties, that little sleeve of those little powdery candies?
Yeah, I can't get with you on the Smarties. I think they're generally inoffensive. Now, if you're asking me, are there better options? Of course there are. There's probably 40 or 50 better options.
Danny, if you gave someone Smarties a month ago, I'm not going to kill you for that. But tonight, the Super Bowl of giving out candy, your option of all the things you could give out, you're going to give out Smarties, and I'm supposed to accept that?
I wouldn't do it, but again, maybe it's your way to be different. Maybe it's your way to stand out a little bit. Again, if it's part of an ensemble, grab a handful. I'm with you. There are better options. Maybe that's what we're talking about here. Be excellent, right? Don't just half-ass this thing.
Yeah, go be great.
Yeah, don't give out like a yogurt or like bran flakes. But yeah, I'm with you.
This is a big game.
Today, yeah, I find the Smarties unoffensive.
This is not a normal game. This is a division game, championship
Sunday
on the
football.
Line.
Yeah.
What do they say? Big players make?
Big plays?
Big plays.
Yeah.
Smarties is not a big play. Taffy. If you're giving out taffy, scrap that plan. Call your wife. Call your husband right now. Say, we cannot give away taffy. We have a reputation in this neighborhood to uphold. I will not be known as the neighbor who gives away taffy. What are we doing with it? Any kind of whatever that is. You know what I mean by taffy.
Sure.
It doesn't
Uber
have to
chewy.
Be.
Chewy. Yeah.
You get the theme. Like, stop with the chewy.
Yeah. I'm a taffy guy, but only if I'm at a boardwalk at a beach. Then you get your saltwater taffy. I don't know why they call it saltwater taffy. Maybe it's just near saltwater. Like, I'm down with that. Like, that's a beach thing. That's fine. But when we're in a really individualized package here and it's like, oh, God, 17 minutes of chewing and 94% of it's still stuck in between my upper right here and the lower right there. No, thank you.
My teeth hurt just thinking about taffy. Mm-hmm. Last one, candy corn. I don't think anyone actually gives out candy corn for Halloween, but in the event that you do, I had one neighbor when I grew up years and years ago that would put a bunch of candy corn in a little baggie and would hand, like, the little baggies of candy corn would be the Halloween treat. Uh-uh. I didn't know at the time how vile that was that she would do that, but now I do, and it changes how I feel about her as an adult.
When did the pushback on candy corn start?
Was there ever not pushback on candy corn?
It was wildly popular for a time, and it's never bothered me anywhere near as much as it seems to bother the masses part of society. But it became this like cool thing to have backlash about. You know, where people are like, you should be arrested.
I'm wow, like, it sounds like you're pro-candy corn.
I'm not anti. No, pro makes it sound like I'm an advocate. I'm not. I'm not
you're
doing candy corn.
You're defending candy corn's honor.
I never had much of a problem with it. Unoffensive. He didn't bully me in high school. Like, he's in my graduating class. We haven't kept in touch.
When's the last time you've eaten candy corn?
Yeah, decades.
Okay.
Decades.
That's fine. As long as you're not sitting there, like, popping it in your mouth.
Right, it's like, I hold it up on the YouTube page. Here's my candy corn. Yeah,
right.
So I'm not doing that.
Edwin in Silver Spring is on Grant and Danny wants to hop in. Best candy to get tonight if you're trick-or-treating, worst candy to get tonight.
It's so funny because I have my answer and then you just began to trash it, you know?
Oh, no.
Say the one,
what was your answer?
The one you should not get. Huh?
What was your answer?
Well, I'll start with the one that you should not get. Twizzlers has no value whatsoever.
Oh, my God.
It's like chewing recycling, basically. It has no texture, has no real flavor. What is it you're eating? Molded syrup or whatever? What is it? What is it? No value. Do away with the Twizzlers, please. the one that I said I feel that you should get. You're just trashing it now, but I feel like I'll challenge you right now to put a poll on your social media or whatever and ask, is this candy in the Hall of Fame of candy? Yes or no? No qualifications? Yes or no? I bet you it would win. Almond Joy is a great candy.
Oh, stop it, Edwin.
Whoa, yeah. Your candy nice takes, coconut, bro, are tough.
Almond. It doesn't have any junk, you know. It has substance to it. Coconut is nice. It's flavorful. There's a reason Almond Joy has lasted for generations and generations. It's not some fly-by-night thing, you know. It stood the test of time for a reason.
That's a great set of terms. Edwin, I appreciate it, and I feel sorry for your broken palate. I don't know what happened. I don't know if you were held captive and they were forced you to eat it, then made you like brainwashed into thinking that you like Almond Joy. Those pencil shavings that you call substance? Oh my God. And hating on Twizzlers. You're like, what is it? Cooked sugar? I don't know what's in anything. All right? It's red tubular sugar. Deal me in.
I'm not as bothered by his Almond Joy take as I am the idea that there's no taste to Twizzlers. Pete in Great Falls, best and worst candy to get on Halloween.
EEP, but anyways, we've met at Nats Park with your buddy from Booze, if you remember my kid. But anyways,
oh, cool.
The number one candy is Kit Kat. Now, you guys may not be aware, in Japan, there's about 40 or 50 different varieties of Kit Kats. They've got the wafers in there, but all sorts of different stuffings and coatings of different types of chocolate and what have you. And so if you ever get your hands on that stuff, it is amazing to taste.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Love it.
Team Kit Kat here. You're not going to get a rebuttal from us.
Get some crunch, get some chocolate on the outside. Done. Thanks.
Squeeze one more in. Aaron in Virginia. It's Halloween night. Reliving the glory days in costume. What was the best and worst thing to get?
I think the best candy to get is all the candy that you will see at a checkout stand, like Skittles, Starburst, Twix, all that. That's the good candy. Halloween is not the time of year to be healthy. It's like the Thanksgiving of candy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to fast during Thanksgiving. You want to eat as much crap as possible.
There it is,
yeah. The bad candy is jelly beans. Who eats jelly beans anymore? And especially the ones that taste like popcorn and all the other food that you get, I hate jelly beans. So those are my best and worst.
Dude, flavored jelly beans stink.
Great call, by the way.
Those are so bad.
Had you ever brought them up in the no pile? I haven't seen them in forever. The only time I see jelly beans now, it's like Easter. You know what I mean? Where it's like, here's all the jelly beans. It's like they're just saving up to insist upon themselves. No, thank you.
Grant and Danny with you on the fan. We'll work some more of your candy takes in as we go. We should probably get into our regularly scheduled program here on Halloween and dive into some of the news and notes out of the NFL. Top of the hour, Commanders, Giants, possible trap game situation looming. Will Washington overcome? You're listening to the fan. Halloween Thursday, Grant and Danny on the fan. Welcome back. Thanks for making the show part of your afternoon. Danny, I saw Bill Barnwell of ESPN did a nice piece where he broke down really three categories for every team in the NFL. Those that should be adding at the deadline, those should sell or subtract at the deadline, and then the third category was, I don't really know what to do with these guys, but there's some major questions here. He's got the Commanders squarely in the category with the true contenders,
yep,
who should be buyers. The list includes, by the way, teams like the 49ers, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Lions, the Packers, the Ravens, the Steelers, Texans, right? Vikings. I mean, these are the really good teams in the league this
year. Rarefied air, that's right.
And right there, he's got the Commanders as a team that unequivocally should be looking to add. We're at a point now where, with the deadline looming next week, it is going to be a disappointment if they don't do anything. And my guess is that they will, for the record. I think Adam Peters and company will make a trade or two. I don't think it's going to be anything major, which will also maybe feel like a little bit of a disappointment. But my guess is they're going to do something. They're too good. They're 6-2. They might be 7-2 come the deadline, depending on what happens in the Meadowlands this weekend. It would probably be a mistake and a big, big miscalculation if they don't try to help this team a little bit based on how far ahead of schedule they are.
Well, what they've shown is a number of things. One, an aptitude to figure out what they have and what they need, right? So when you, in years past, if you or I, just regular people that love the sport and, you know, study football and see what other teams are doing and how they're doing it, you'd go, okay, ours doesn't look like theirs. Make ours look like theirs. Talking about one of the good teams. And that was my axiom all summer long, going, why aren't they adding a receiver? Why aren't they doing more? Why aren't they doing more? Sorry, the offense is top two or three in the sport. They didn't need it. They figured it out, right? So where you and I can go, they've got a hole here. They're probably going, we can fill it without doing this huge high-price thing, without compromising anything or whatever. So I'm with you in the sense that I expect a shrewd move, maybe like a around-the-edges kind of move that's going to pay dividends. I don't think they're big-game hunting. That's not based on anything other than my own gut feel and kind of looking at this past offseason where they walked around with a lot of confidence going, we'll fill the left tackle spot, not with an incumbent who's been here for a while, but, you know, a journeyman swing tackle and a third-rounder that half the league thinks is a guard. We'll get it done. It'll be fine. And it was fine. You know, that's kind of my thought is that they won't do the huge ticket item maybe that moves the needle more.
Well, I wonder if they will strengthen a strength, right? I wonder if they will try to add to an area where they've already been really good and account for some type of potential regression. On offense, they're number one in EPA per play in the NFL. The Ravens are two. The Bills are three. The Lions are four. I mean, those are Super Bowl contenders behind them. That's what you got to do. We talk about this every year on this show. You want to be a Super Bowl contender, you better have a great offense. Mm-hmm. By that metric and by a lot of metrics, they are the best offense in the NFL right now. But we've also talked ad nauseum this year about the Cliff Kingsbury arc, the storyline, the narrative, where his offenses get off to these awesome starts and then regress. So is this a situation where if you're Adam Peters, you ensure that the offense sustains itself by going and getting another weapon, going and adding a receiver? Maybe it's someone that you think presents more problems as after they catch a tight end, or you know, maybe it's the O-line, to your point on now that the tackle issue they're having. Or is it just address the obvious problem? They are bad defensively compared to their offense. They've gotten a lot better, which we'll talk about in the second half of the show, but that is still the weakness of the team that has been the Achilles heel. They're not strong enough at corner. They could use more pass rush. Do you just throw a resource at one of those obvious issues, which I think is what you do, because that's mm-hmm. where they're going to be shopping this offseason. By way of either the draft or free agency, they will be in the market big time for young ascending star power at corner and off the edge. And if one of those guys is available now, why not throw some resources at it? Why wait? If you Precisely. Can find someone that can be the starter right now and beyond, there's no reason you have to wait. It's not like you're not allowed to do your Christmas shopping until after Black Friday. Like, you can buy something and put it up in the attic right now. There's no yeah. reason you can't just go cash in on a half season more of whatever you'd be adding this offseason.
And under Peters, there's an organizational confidence. And I don't mean to be flippant about this. I should not be an executive. Usual caveats apply. If I was, I wouldn't have had the stones to trade Jahan Dotson before the season. I just wouldn't have, because I'm going, I'm not sure about this position. I think, but I'm not sure. Do we have enough? Do we have enough? They have shown the ability to go, we got it. We know before everyone else does, which is the hallmark to me of a good front office, or one of the, right? So identifying a need and going, we're going to predict the need. We're going to predict where this is going to go in a while, where we can get great value, not do it just to hear ourselves complete a phone call. We're going to make that kind of move that you're talking about, where the opportunity presented itself. We're not rushing to do this, right? We're not in a panic. We're not going, we have to add or else. They don't have an or else right now. They've got that, again, I don't have a better phrase for it than organizational confidence in their decision-making, their development, the staff, and everybody on down. It's fun when they're all pulling the rope in the same direction, and guys outperform expectations as opposed to the exact opposite, which is what we've been used to here for 30 years.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. The Giants stand between Washington and the 7-2 start. Why don't we take a look at that matchup next? It feels like a trap game. You know, it is sandwiched between what was a huge home matchup, picks 1 and 2, all the storylines of Williams and Daniels, plus the week in the buildup of whether he'd play or not, and a game next week with the Steelers team that's going to feel like a real litmus test against a playoff team and a stellar defense. These are the types of games that often can give the really good teams problems. In the division, team that plays you close a lot, team you struggled with, right? And it feels like someone you're just going to walk in, roll the football out, and beat. How do they avoid a letdown? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.